Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Creative Impetus, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudweep, a description of the island of Jambudweep, text number 9, and of course it's also Lord Balaram's appearance day. This is prose, so I'm just going to read this. Bharate pivashe bhagavan nara narayanakya a kalpantam upachita dharma jivana vairagya aishvaryo pasho ma. What a long word. Paramatmo palam bhavanam. See that? Vairagya aishvarya pasoma paramatma Alambanam. That's probably the longest word I've ever read. It's actually a combination of words. Anugrahayatmavatam anukampaya tapovyakta gatis charati. Word for word. Bharate in Bharata. Api. Also. Varache. The tract of land. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nara Narayana Kyaha, known as Nara Narayan. Akalpa Antam, up to the end of the millennium. Upachita, increasing. Dharma, religion. Jnana, knowledge. Vairagya, renunciation or non-attachment. Aishvarya, mystic opulences. Upashama, control of the senses. Upparama, freedom from false ego. Atma upalambhanam, self-realization. Anugrahaya, to show favor. Atmavatam, unto persons interested in self-realization. Anukampaya, by causeless mercy. Tapaha, austerities. Avyakta gatihi, whose glories are inconceivable. Charati, executes. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Naranarayan in the land of Bharatavarsha, at the place known as Bhatrika Ashrama, to favour his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power. Aishvarya. Sense control. upasama, and freedom from false ego, uparama. Freedom from false ego, that's real freedom. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets, and he engages in executing austerity until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization. The process of self-realization. Right? Understanding religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. Purport. People in India may visit the temple of Naranarayan at Bhadraka Ashram just to learn how the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Naranarayan engages in austerities to teach the people of the world how to achieve self-realization. It is impossible to realize oneself simply by absorbing oneself in speculation and material activities. One must be very serious about self-realization and the practice of austerity. Under these circumstances, the Lord has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon the fallen souls the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing of the dirt from the core of one's heart. This method is extremely simple. Anyone can chant the glorious Krishna Sankirtana, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this age, there are different forms of so-called advanced scientific knowledge, such as anthropology, Marxism, Freudianism, nationalism and industrialism. But if we work very hard under their guidance, instead of adopting the process practiced by Naranarayan, we shall waste our valuable human form of life. Thus, we shall certainly be cheated and misled. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dirante Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya chatuskritam dharma samstapakam. What is it? Dharma
samstapanam.
Yes.
Sambhavami
yuge yuge. Dharma samstapana. Yes, to establish dharma. Right? Religious principle. Well, to protect the devotees. And to deliver the demons, the dushkrita. And to establish religious principles. So here we have a description of Naranarayan Rishi and their purpose, which is to establish dharma effectively, right? Here. Akalpa antam, up to the end of the millennium. Upachitta dharma. Increase dharma, increase religion. This is the purpose. This is the purpose of Naranarayan Rishi. To increase dharma. And the characteristics of dharma are described here. Knowledge. Right? In modern so-called society, one's measure of success, the measure of success is how much money you have or how many toys you've got, pretty much. How much you've got, how big your house is. Where your house is situated. What kind of car you drive. But Vedic culture, which embraces dharma as the highest of principles, the highest of, if anything's valued, then it's dharma, religiosity. This is the Vedic culture, not material achievements, but spiritual achievements. And a measure of a person's success is how much they've advanced in these, in practicing dharma, and that means then cultivation of these qualities, knowledge, cultivation of knowledge, and knowledge from the correct source, from the appropriate source. You know, the Vedas are considered to be the source of all knowledge. Prabhupada even says modern, what does he say, anthropology, all of these different advanced scientific knowledge, all is originally, the original source is the Vedas. And of course, the cream of Vedic literature is the science of self-realization. And that means, you know, understand, jnana, knowledge means, you know, not how much you know, but what you know. And specifically, knowledge of the self. Huh? Knowledge. Dharma, knowledge. And then, as a consequence of knowledge, renunciation. One who is learned understands the value of spiritual understanding, spiritual practice, and the value of material assets. And, you know, ultimately, a devotee understands, and this is real renunciation, is that everything, that nothing belongs to me. What is it? Idam Krishnaya, Idam Nama Ma. This all is Krishna's. This is real renunciation. And so, material facilities can be accepted in the bare necessities, if it's for our personal maintenance. But unlimitedly, if it can be used in Krishna's service. So, religion, knowledge, renunciation, and then from that comes spiritual power. Aishvarya, mystic opulences. In the translation here, spiritual power. Which is important. We need to become spiritually powerful. Don't we? Spiritually strong. Otherwise, how are we going to serve Krishna. One has to become sensually and mentally, intellectually and spiritually strong. Very important. Otherwise, the material energy has two potencies. Maya has two potencies. That which is not. Maya means that which is illusion, right? But the illusory energy has its potencies. One by which it keeps all of the conditioned souls covered up. So they think, material prosperity is the goal of life. Happiness comes from acquisition of material assets. Which is proven time and time again to be unreliable. There are many stories of people who are materially asset rich, but personally, spiritually poor, and as a consequence, unhappy. So unhappy they kill themselves. Right? They're so disgusted and disappointed with life. Right? What is the point? I worked hard, I acquired all of the things that I thought would make me happy, and what am I? Miserable. Right? Miserable. Whereas the devotees don't care for such material things. They're looked after. Effectively, we're looked after. If we serve Krishna, we're looked after. And we're able to cultivate happiness, right? Real happiness, satisfaction, santushtaha, right? Complete satisfaction. What else have we got here? Spiritual aishwarya, spiritual strength, upashama, control of the senses. Right? Control of the senses. When you serve Krishna, Krishna is the master of the senses, the Hrishikesha. And when we serve the Hrishikesha, then our senses are automatically controlled by being engaged in service to God, service to Krishna. Not difficult. Uparama, freedom from false ego. So a proper understanding of who we are. That I'm not the body, I'm spiritual by nature. And I have a body. We can't say I'm not the body and then just ignore the body, because it's a tincha beda abeda tattva. You are the body, you're not the body, but you also are the body. Right? Simultaneously one but different. Which can be, they can cause problems. Schizophrenia, right? Am I the body or am I not the body? What am I? Who am I? But this uparama, freedom from false identification with the body, is an essential element of spiritual advancement. Huh? And atma upalambanam bhanam, self-realization. Yeah. Advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets. And how do we do this? Prabhupada said, one must be very serious about self-realization and the practice of austerity. So what's our austerity? What's the biggest austerity? Huh? There are so many austerities. The fact that I have to live with you guys, that's the biggest austerity. No, biggest here. Here Prabhupada says, unfortunately, the people of this age of Kali do not even know the meaning of austerity. Right? If you mention austerity to people, they say, oh, what's that? How do you ever hear the word? Right? Austerity? That doesn't sound very nice. Huh? So, The Lord has appeared. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda to give, to bestow upon the fallen souls the easiest method of self-realization, the easiest method. Easiest. But that doesn't mean that it's not hard. Cheto darpanam marjanam. Cleansing of the dirt from the core of one's heart. How do we do that? By chanting Hare Krishna. Very simple. So, here's our method. If we want to cultivate dharma, religiosity or religion, jnana, knowledge, vairagya, renunciation, aishwarya, opulence, mystic opulence, upashama, control of the senses, uparama, freedom from false ego, atma upalambanam, self-realization, then this is the process, chanting Hare Krishna. Which is quite interesting because it is a simple process. It's an easy process. Not without its challenges, though. But sufficient for us to make advancement in all of these different aspects. Dharma, jnana, vairagya, aishwarya, upashama, uparama, atma upalambhanam, self-realization, and austerity. Yeah, this is our austerity, chanting Hare Krishna. So this is, if one wants to cultivate knowledge, jnana, then one, in this day and age, one is encouraged to learn the science of chanting Hare Krishna. That's all that's required. It's the yuga dharma. It's the yajna, or the sacrifice for the current time. And even though it's simple, one of the problems is, or a problem, is that it appears just too simple, right? Too easy, not complicated enough. Although, mind you, you have to do to chant every day, you know, and attentively requires effort and attention to detail, austerity, if you like. But it provides, it gives the highest form of self-realization. Well, the highest. You understand, you're not the body. Chitto darpanam marjanam, the unnecessary, unwanted, the anattas of material existence are cleansed by the chanting of Hare Krishna. And Hari Rama, today's Lord Balaram's birthday, so we shouldn't forget. Hare Krishna, Hari Rama. In fact, that's what, you know, in India, that's what we're known as. Oh, the Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Of course, the Hare Krishna, Hare Rama are respected, really respected by people everywhere, but especially in India, you find the Hare Krishna, Hare Rama people are very, very respected. So, in order to become proficient in chanting Hare Krishna, one has to be strong. Right? One has to be strong. You wake up early in the morning and you chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, and then how do you feel? Enlivened, right? but tired. A full Hare Krishna morning program, and after breakfast you're exhausted because you've already done 6 hours of pretty strenuous work. You know, chanting Hare Krishna is keep the mind focused and keep attentive, requires effort. Huh? Doesn't just happen by itself. If we're inattentive, then what happens? The mind wanders all over the place. Right? So it requires effort to keep focused. But of course, when we're focused on the chanting Hare Krishna, then we feel the opening of our heart. And so that we're receptive to the spiritual power of the Maha Mantra. And the internal, the spiritual potency, Hare, and Krishna, the Supreme, and Rama, the Supreme, the Supreme Personality of Servitude, right? Krishna is the Supreme Controller, and Lord Balaram is his immediate expansion. It's said that there's, in terms of potency, there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. Although Prabhupada does make the point that who's leaning on who? In the Krishna Balaram Mandir, who's leaning on who? Balaram is leaning on Krishna. Balaram is the older brother, but he's leaning on Krishna. So Prabhupada says this indicates that Krishna is the stronger. Well, he's the original. And Balaram is in a mood of two moods, right? What are the two moods? The two moods of Lord Balaram. What are these two moods? Dasya is the first, yeah. And Krishna Das Kaviraj said, who will not be a Dasya? Who is not a Dasya of Krishna? Who is not? Well, quite a few people, obviously. But they're never ever going to be happy. Dasya, and what's the other one? Sakya. Sakya. He's a friend. He's Krishna's friend. These are the two predominant moods of Balaram. Dasya and Sakya. And in that mood of servitude, he appears in different ways. Lord Balaram appears in different ways. 10 ways. What are the 10? I don't think I can remember all of the 10. Bed, shoes, clothes, throne. Lounge, it's described as a difference between the two different seating places that he becomes. The throne, you know, that's where the regal majesty sits, and then the lounge is where he just takes it easy. So his Brahmin thread, his crown, his padukas. So these are all forms that Lord Balaram accepts in a mood of servant. Right? Who likes being trodden on? Raise your hands. Who likes being lounged on? Or slept on top of? No, you know, nobody likes being trodden on, lounged on. But Balaram happily, enthusiastically accepts, you know, the service of being trodden on. Right? So in other words, menial servant, which is the meaning of servant. Right? Meaning a servant means whatever is required, I'll do it. And so, in that regard, we see, you know, we're celebrating now the appearance of Krishna, effectively, right? But in the lead up to Krishna's appearance, we worship Lord Balaram. Because effectively, if we don't have Balaram's mercy, if we don't have Balaram's kripa, then we can't approach Krishna effectively. Right? We need Balaram's mercy in order to be able to appreciate Krishna. Balaram gives us the key. He gives us the key to bhakti. Right? And what's the key? What's the key to bhakti? Service. Right? It's the mood of service. Balaram also represents the spiritual master. Right? The spiritual master is an expansion of Lord Balaram. Also, actually, the spiritual master is described as an expansion of Radharani also. Huh? But what do they both give us the opportunity? Radharani and Balaram, what do they give us? They give us the opportunity to do service. Whatever it might be. In whatever circumstance, in whatever situation, no matter how difficult or challenging the devotee accepts service. And that's the blessing. That's a blessing. If one can achieve that position of serving, then one has perfected one effectively has perfected one's life. And so Balaram, as the original guru, teaches us that the right mentality, the proper mentality, is to always remain as a servant, right? Even Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Gopi Bhattu Padakamalayo Dasa Das Anudas, right? So this Dasyam is epitomized, is embodied, or the embodiment of Seva is Lord Balaram, Krishna's first expansion. So he appears in these 10 forms to facilitate Krishna's pastimes, both in the spiritual world and in the material world. So when after the killing of the 6 sons of Devaki that are the originally the sons of Marichi, right? And Marichi represents the mind, the six sons represent the mind and the 5 senses, right? And they were cursed. They were cursed that they would be killed by Kamsa. And they were originally in a prior incarnation, and this is, it's complicated, but in a prior incarnation they were the sons of Kalanimi, who is the son of Hiranyakashipu. Right? But they went to Lord Brahma to seek shelter and get some boons from Brahma, and that annoyed Hiranyakashipu. So he cursed them. They were cursed by their grandpa to be killed by Kamsa. Right. So after the killing of these characters, materialistic characters, by the way, because they represent the mind and the 5 senses. And the cause of fear, right? And we see that fear manifest in Kamsa. He was scared because he thought each one of them was Krishna, or potentially could have been Krishna. And it, you know, this is the symptom of the mind influenced along with the senses, because the mind is like the sense within. Then what does material existence create for us? Fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of dying, attachment to material things, the fear of loss, the loss of identity, especially if we identify with the senses and the acquirement of material facilities, we're always going to be scared because it doesn't last. It's always been taken away from us, right? So after the killing of these personalities that took birth in the womb of Devaki, then the seventh son, right, of Devaki was who?
Balaram.
Huh?
Balaram?
Yes, Balaram. Yeah. And even though Devaki is fully pure, right, not contaminated by the presence of these individuals in her womb, still Lord Balaram appeared to pave the way for Krishna's appearance, right? And he appeared in a form of a bed. Even though he himself was transferred by Yogamaya to the womb of Rahini, he was originally in the womb of Devaki. In order to facilitate the appearance of Krishna, he appeared there in the form of a bed, so that Krishna could lie down and rest, I suppose, have a snooze. More snoozing. Krishna's pastime. And it's interesting, isn't it? Mahavishnu, he also likes to sleep. That's why we like to sleep. Right? I was reading an article the other day and they were talking about sleep. And there was a question, why do we sleep? And the answer is, we don't know. We know the body has to rest, but why does the body have to rest? Because, well, actually, it all comes originally from Krishna. He likes to have a snooze, so do we. So, anyway, in the lead up to Krishna's appearance, in the lead up to Janmashtami, we worship Lord Balaram in order to become qualified, to be eligible to appreciate Krishna. And the best way to appreciate Krishna, of course, is to render service. And of course, this is the chanting of Hare Krishna. We start rendering service to Krishna by chanting. And by chanting, we're praying. Hare Krishna, O energy of the Lord, O Krishna, O Rama, please engage me in your service. This is what when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're praying for engagement. And of course, we do that formally and informally under the direction of Krishna and Balaram in the form of the instructions of the spiritual master, the instructions of the devotees, for that matter. This is how we render service. we begin our service, if you like. Actually, the service begins with hearing, right? Service begins with hearing, and what is the instruction? What's the first instruction? What's the first instruction? What do you reckon? What's the first instruction?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Chant Hare Krishna. Yes. If you want to solve all problems, all Hare Krishna's solutions are contained in Chant Hare Krishna. Right? This is our solution to everything. What's the problem? You're sinful. What's the solution? Chant Hare Krishna. Huh? But that's the mood of Balaram. Please let me do some service. Right? Let me serve. So he's like the archetypical devotee, right? The first bhakta avatar is Balaram. Huh? And you know, we see in Krishna, Balaram appears in five other forms. Sankarshan, as you know, as Balaram, and Sankarshan in the different expansions. Then Anantasesh, right? And Anantasesh is interesting because Anantasesh is the original reciter of the Bhagavatam, right? He started chanting Krishna's glories. Well, he didn't start. And he can never get to the end. That's why it's called Ananta, right? No end to Krishna's glory. So he's, and it's described how the Chatush Kumar, the four Kumaras, are listening to Balaram, to Anantasesh, Balaram's expansion, glorifying the Lord in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you know, our Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, a big book, right? I remember when I used to go to one of my friend's house, and I saw he had the Bhagavad Gita sitting, you know, those book stands, right? And he had the Bhagavad Gita sitting there, and I thought, wow, look at that, that's really spiritual. It really attracted me. Ooh. And I thought, I want to get one of those. But then I looked at the size of the book, Bhagavad Gita, right? And I thought, wow, that's a huge book. How am I going to read that, right, and understand it? But, you know, the Bhagavad Gita is actually a small book. The Bhagavad Gita is a small book. And we've got the Srimad Bhagavatam here. But imagine the actual Bhagavatam recited by Anantasesh. Right? You can't actually... It's Ananta. It actually has no end. The glorification of Krishna has no end. So in that way, Lord Balaram is an example, right? Somebody to be followed. We should always be hearing. Always prepared to associate with Krishna and support his pastimes, whatever they may be, wherever they may be. Whether it's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who are also Krishna and Balaram. And you know, this is our opportunity to render service because we're part of Krishna's pastimes in the Kali Yuga, and Lord Chaitanya, or Krishna and Balaram's pastimes in Kali Yuga are the Sankirtan Jagya, right? Always Jagya. Life should be lived as a practice of Jagya. This is our austerity. Right. It may or may not be enjoyable. Sometimes it is supremely enjoyable. Right. You know, I mentioned this before, but you notice it when you're on Harinam, when you're on Sankirtan, and you know, you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're in downtown Melbourne, right? Bourke Street or Swanson Street. But at a certain point in the chanting of Hare Krishna, you leave Bourke Street and Swanson Street, or wherever, whichever street you happen to be on. You leave it. You're just not there anymore. You're in Vaikuntha. Huh? And everybody's, you know, in Vaikuntha, what is it? Every word is a song. Every step is a dance. This is in the Brahma Samhita. So you notice it when you chant Hare Krishna. At a certain point, you realise, I'm not in Melbourne anymore. You are in Melbourne, but you're not. Just like you're not the body, but you are the body. Right? You're not in Melbourne, but you are in Melbourne. So, you know, this is really this is Krishna consciousness, is changing our mental state so that we understand that we're spiritual by nature. And of course, from that comes that, what is it? What were we looking at here? Uparama. Freedom from false ego. Right? Uparama. Which comes from Hari Rama. It's Uparama, not. It's a short A in Rama, not Rama, but Rama. So, Balaram exemplifies this hearing and chanting in the manifest in his form as Ananta Sage. Of course, also Ananta Sage is carrying all of the planets on his head, right? As well. He's supporting the whole material creation, and so the other three is his other three manifestations are Mahavishnu. Karana Dakashai Vishnu, Garbha Dakashai Vishnu, they're Chira Dakashai Vishnu, the super soul. And again, always rendering service, right? Manifesting the material world, right? And basically, that's serving Krishna, but it's also serving all of the living entities, right? And facilitating all of their desires, even though, you know, they're just wasting their time in the material world doing stupid things, right? And always suffering from the six enemies, fear and etc. So, Lord Balaram appears in five forms. To facilitate Krishna and his pastimes, and to facilitate the living entities and their pastimes in the material world. Of course, all of the activities of the living entities in the material world are his dreaming, he's sleeping and snoozing. And we're struggling hard with the material energy, getting nowhere. But the material energy, very powerful, very strong. And we take advantage of, or we petition Lord Balaram, because Lord Balaram is the provider of pleasure, right? When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we experience pleasure. When we engage in devotional service, then we feel extremely satisfied and extremely happy. Achyuta Rupa was talking to some of the market people the other day, a couple of days ago, and they were saying how much they like the devotees. The devotees just make them feel happy. This is, I think it's you, Namahan. You're making people feel happy. Right? Yeah. Yeah. They say, we love your boys. They're so happy. Devotees are happy. We hang around with each other, so we become familiar with each other, right? But we should never underestimate the impact of the association of a devotee, because a devotee's not thinking on a material platform. He's thinking on a spiritual platform. And quite carefree. Right? It's very attractive. Very attractive. And it comes from spiritual strength. Right? While we pray, on Balaram's appearance day, we pray for his blessings. and for his mercy in a form of, you know, happiness, I guess. We want to be happy. Anybody here doesn't want to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy, huh? And this is why the Devotee Association is so important, because the devotees show you can be happy without material things, right? You're working your backside off to get material things and you're never happy, right? Never happy. And yet the devotees, you know, not so attached to material things. That doesn't mean that we don't. Because we identify with everything as belonging to Krishna, then we can use it in Krishna's service. So we still, you know, if you, like Prabhupada said, if you try to take my watch, I'll fight you for it, right? It's not that, you know, incapable of working out the value of things. Right. Just like Prabhupada once was left by one of his disciples alone in a room with an attractive lady, and Prabhupada chastised his servant, you know, why did you leave me here? So, you know, it's not that a devotee can't understand and appreciate the value of material things, but they see it always in Krishna's service, right? So we need the association of the devotees to cultivate that mood. Of course, that mood comes from Lord Balaram. And we seek shelter of Balaram in order to get spiritual power. We need to be strong physically, and we need to be strong emotionally, and we need to be strong spiritually, intellectually and spiritually strong. And we get that strength. We get that ability to understand Krishna, and we get that the strength to understand and serve Krishna from Balaram. So specifically, Balaram destroys anattas, right? Because anattas are what stops us from making advancement. You know? Our attachments to material things, effectively. That's anatta. Anatta, arta means that which is essential, and anatta means that which is inessential or not essential. Right? And most of our problems are because we're attached to the things that we're an illusion as to what's valuable and what's not. This is why buddhi or intelligence is required. But we need strong intelligence. We need a strong intellectual understanding of our philosophy. Sankhya, effectively. Sankhya, right? Which just means knowing what's what. 24 material elements, understanding the spiritual elements as well. Understanding the science of self-realization. That comes from Balaram. And specifically, there are four anattas, four main types of anattas, but specifically, Balaram destroys Hridaya Durabalyam, which means weakness of heart. Right? That means attachments. Attachments are things not related to Krishna. It means Kutinati. It means diplomacy or duplicity. Cheating. A bit of cheating mentality. Matsarya. Enviousness. Right? For devotees, that means envious of other devotees who are making advancement often, right? Or especially, you know, those who are in charge. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'll do what I like. You say I can't have darshan, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. Huh? How come you're the boss and I'm not the boss? That's what that means. But somebody's got to be the boss. Right? Otherwise, how do you organise? Prabhupada says this, how do you manage anything if somebody's not the boss? You can't. Right? Who's the boss in your house? Huh? I have the last say around here. You know what it is? Yes, dear. Somebody's got to be the boss. But we don't like it that that boss is not me. Right? This is a problem for devotees. Matsarya, envy. You're the boss, and I've got it. But what Balaram is the example of lack of envy. Right? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but what does he do? He doesn't get envious of Krishna. He serves. Right? Imagine if Balaram got envious of Krishna. That's ridiculous. Just absurd. Huh? Absurd. But that's where we are. That's where we're sitting. We think we can be Krishna, so okay, see you later, go to the material world. That's where we let people exercise that insanity, basically. Huh? But this is, we need to be aware of this. Hridaya Durabalyam. We worship Balaram to get rid of that enviousness. And Pratishta, right? The desire to be somebody. Right? We see that sometimes in the devotees. They want to be the guru. Well, I'm more advanced than you, so you can't tell me what to do. Right? You seen that? If you haven't, stick around. How come you're telling me what to do? Basically because we need to have some organisation and some structure, whether the person's more advanced or not. It doesn't matter. Our mood is service. And we should be able to appreciate and recognise, okay, there's service needs to be done and somebody's got to organise it. Right? I remember, I used to think, how come Balaram always gets served prasadam first? Because he was the temple president, right? How come the temple president always goes first? Why can't I go first? Right? I wasn't thinking like that, but well, I guess that's what it means. Right? It's called envious. Envious. And sometimes Balaram used to chastise us too. I got chastised more than once. And I was upset. Why? What are you getting on my case for? I didn't do anything wrong. Right? Of course, I didn't like the fact that he was a temple president, but that's another thing. Right? So, we need to be careful about our anattas, and especially we pray to Lord Balaram, please let me be a servant. Please let me be strong in my devotional service. The strength comes from Lord Balaram. And you know, as Chiradakshay Vishnu, all of the incarnations come from him, right? And so, you know, look at this as Lord Varaha, when the earth planet dropped into the bottom of the universe, who got it out? It was Lord Varaha. So how strong would you have to be to pick up the earth, right, and reinstate it? Here's another one. Matsya, Kurma, right? When the demons and the demigods were churning the milk ocean, they needed a churning rod, I guess, right? But they didn't have anything, and so they got a mountain. What, Mandara Mountain, wasn't it? Big, huge mountain, but who did they put it on? Right? Kurma. Another incarnation of Balaram, because all of the incarnations of the Lord, except for Krishna, Krishna's tu Bhagavat Swayam, Krishna's the original Krishna, but all of the other incarnations are expansions of Balaram through, you know, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu, right? So, and so on, you know. Nrisimhadev appeared to fight Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was, you know, had subjugated all of the demigods and everybody was serving him, right? So very, very powerful, extremely powerful. But Lord Nrisimhadev finished him off after playing with him for a little while. So again, that power comes from Balaram. So we pray to Balaram, please, please give me that service attitude. Please give me the strength. And please help me remove these anattas of you know, that cheating kind of mentality. The enviousness of others and the attachment of things not related to Krishna and the desire to be somebody. You know, you already are somebody, you're a servant. That's big. Right? Although small, it's still, no, it's big. That, and that's what a devotee is known for, is their service attitude. A number of devotees, I remember, you know, they would join a temple and we say, this guy's a real bhakta, right? God, this guy's a bhakta, because you ask him to do something, sure, off he goes and does it. Then he comes back and he says, what's next? Huh? And you give him another service, then off he goes, and super enthusiastic, just does it. This is a symptom of a bhakta, is he loves to do service. And then when he's finished the service, okay, what's next? Huh? No. You know, hey, how come I've got to do this? Why can't I tell you what to do? It's not the mood of a devotee, actually. Because even though the spiritual, you know, the guru is called the spiritual master, right? But actually, he's a servant. You know, and that's the quality of Lord Balaram, is to be that servant. And of course, we see that in Srila Prabhupada. And we see in Srila Prabhupada also that spiritual strength, because Srila Prabhupada was quite diminutive. He's quite, you know, physically small, but, you know, spiritually powerful, super powerful. And that's because of his service. That's because of his service mode. You know, when you think about it, Srila Prabhupada coming to the West with pretty much an impossible mission, you know, really when you think about it, impossible that one person could establish a global spiritual movement like Srila Prabhupada did. And, you know, coming with nothing, literally, well, some books basically, but literally nothing. That required deep, deep faith and deep commitment and strength, spiritual strength, despite the odds, despite the difficulties, just keeping that mood of service. And that's why the spiritual master is called the master, because his senses and his mind, his intellect, his whole self is in that mood of surrender, of service, and that way sets the example, and so therefore can then instruct the disciples. And so why we, you know, we worship the spiritual master, effectively Balaram's manifestation of his mercy is he manifests in the form of the spiritual master to guide us, first of all by example, right? Acharya means one who teaches by example, and then praja, by instruction. And the mercy or the pride of the disciple are the instructions that one's received from the spiritual master. Even if not immediately executable, right? Even if not immediately executable. We see that. Srila Prabhupada was told to preach in the West in English at the age of what, 23? 23, when he was young, just married with family. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, this is what you should do. Of course, mind you, he gave that instruction to many people. But of course, not many. Only one was really effective in doing that. And of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur later on said to his other disciples, he'll do everything. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, very prescient, right, and detached. Because he'd established the Gaudiya Mutt. But then he told Srila Prabhupada, you know, there'll be a fire in a mutt. He knew that it would break up. Everything that he, well, not everything that he worked for, but certainly. But yet, he was satisfied because he knew that Srila Prabhupada would go on to establish. And he told him, whenever you get money, print books. Right? And of course, that's what Srila Prabhupada did. You know, his, up to the last, he was translating the Bhagavad Gita. So, we receive Balaram's mercy through the instructions of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is an expansion of Balaram in that mood of service. And we surrender to the spiritual master because the spiritual master has demonstrated his or her capacity to surrender, to serve, and that dedication, that faithful, that shraddha, that faith in following the instructions of the guru, and the desire to render service. Okay. So I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? I do.
It's trying to understand if...
trying to understand?
Yeah, if we can equate Jagya and austerity tapa, it always tapa part of the Jagya.
Is it?
I'm just asking.
I think so, yeah. Yes. Yep. Austerity is a sacrifice because you're sacrificing your immediate sense gratification or satisfaction for the benefit of somebody else. But the interesting thing is, even though we may sacrifice for ourselves, ultimately we benefit in the sense of sense control, mind control, and, you know, service, effectively. So, yes, sacrifice, tapa, austerity, is an element of sacrifice. Yep. Sense control. And, of course, you know, we do it through Sankirtan. Effectively, that's our, you know, rather than, you know, sitting on blocks of ice in winter or surrounded by fire in summer and, you know, fasting and all that kind of stuff. Chanting too much, can you believe that? You know, chanting too much. Can be real austerity if you chant too much, because you begin to resent it, right? So that's why Prabhupada said chant 16 rounds. Right? That's enough for purification. Not, you know, because there are those who say, oh, you know, you should be chanting 64 rounds. Well, hang on, our founder Acharya said, no, just chant 16. You just can't maintain that kind of, it's a special person that can do that.
I was trying to also to understand that process of Jagya and Tapa together.
Yeah.
Because what is actually Kali Yuga, the Jagya and Tapa, for prescribed for us?
For us, 16 rounds, yeah. The four regulated principles, that'll be enough. Jagya and Tapa. Right?
And at the same time, for example, if we want to take a talk about austerity, it's more like a demand, because physically it's not part of our process, but it's more the mind, the attitude that you were mentioning, that for chanting, for example, you need to focus, be focused, listen,
etc. Need to focus, yes, yeah, need to focus on chanting.
And at the same time, the attitude and the mood when we do service as well.
What's that last bit?
The attitude and the...
Oh, the attitude.
When we do the service.
Yes.
Because we have the mind as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's an austerity, I guess. But anyway, So, see, sadhana basically means practice, right? And so we're practicing to have the right mood and the right attitude, right?
And at the same time, they live with the spiritual strength to maintain that.
Yes, you need spiritual strength, because otherwise you become exhausted. Phew, I just chanted 16 rounds, but I feel exhausted. Huh? So probably not a bad idea to have a rest. Oh, that's what I, you know, if I've, these days, when I was younger, I used to be able to do it, but now, if I have a full morning program and I've chanted all my rounds, and after breakfast, I feel quite tired. Because that is, you know, you're up at 4 o'clock, and you've gone for 5 hours, right, pretty much, till 9 o'clock. You've just been... Right? So if you feel tired, it's okay. You probably are. Have a rest. And then you'll feel better. I remember Bhakta and Jamuna Acharya and... what's his name? There was anyway, these were devotees that were householders, and they were the TMers, right? And I joined a few, maybe a year before, and here's a bit of Matsarya for you. I had to go to the morning program and chant my rounds with the devotees, or I was going to the market. Right. And in those days, you bought the veggies and the flowers. Right, you did both. And at that stage, I wonder, and later on, I was also going out on Sankirtan as well, so I was, you know, we had a full on program, and you went, you know, after breakfast, sleeping was Maya. Right? Maya, right? And so these TM guys come along, and Balaram and whoever it was, Bhagavata Shri, whoever was preaching, they decided, oh, after breakfast you can have a rest. I think, what's going on here? What is this Maya? You know, these guys, they're pampering them, they go to have a rest after breakfast, I gotta work, but I gotta, you know, go out on Sankirtan or whatever it was that I was doing, you know. And but actually, you know, I've discovered that actually having a rest when you're tired is not a bad idea, because it, you know, sleeping is actually part of intelligence. It's a function of the intelligence. And if you don't rest properly, what happens? What happens when you don't rest enough? You fall asleep. Yeah, you go to Bhagavatam class, and right? You wake yourself up snoring. Oop, hope nobody noticed that you were snoring. Or you know, you'll become emotional. You become emotional. You'll just lose it, right? Especially the ladies, right? Often when the doesn't happen these days so much. We leave people up with their own devices. But you know, earlier the girls would come to me and they would be a bit emotional, and usually I'd just say, just go and have a bit of a snooze and then come back. I go and have a sleep, and I'd say, you know, and everything okay? Yeah, it's all right, everything's all right, sort it out now. So sometimes all many problems can be resolved by just having a sleep. This is how complicated life can be, you know, just go and have a sleep, you'll be all right. And then after they've had a rest, what was that problem again? Ah, no, it's okay, so you'll be right. But yes, tapasya. Tapasya. There's an appropriate kind of tapasya. We don't need to add more, right? I remember when I first went, the first year I went to India, and I took a vow, I'm going to chant 32 rounds every day. So... full morning program, then we would go out on parikrama and you know, different things. And then at 4 o'clock, I would go to the temple room and chant another 16 rounds. And I did it for all the time we were in Mayapur, which was a couple of weeks. But, you know, towards the end there, that was an effort. It was an effort. And then, ironically, what happened was we went to Puri, 32-hour bus ride to Puri, which was crazy. And then I think I kept up the chanting in Puri, but then we went to Vrindavan. And my first day in Vrindavan, I went down to Lloyd Bazaar. And when we went to, I think it was Ganga Prasad's shop, one of the cloth wallers' shop, they gave me a glass of, you know, they always give you a drink when you go to the wallers, right? Yeah. So, yeah, because they want to sell you something, so they... And it's hospitality, it's a whole cultural thing. But anyway, I drank that very quickly, and then all of a sudden I felt my temperature change, right? I thought, uh-oh, something's not right here. And then the next day I had a fever and a headache and basically flu, I think it was, you know. But really, and so, you know, I was struggling to get 16 rounds done, not to speak of 32. I was just, you know, couldn't get up in the morning, couldn't go to the morning program, so just a mess. Huh? So, yeah, be careful taking on too much austerity. You know, you won't be able to do it. Doing 16 rounds is good enough for most of us. Okay, there will be exceptions, fine.
In our case, would be just to follow the four principles.
Four principles, 16 rounds, and, you know, for us, morning program. Morning program. Sadhana. See the deities, chant Hare Krishna, hear the philosophy, stay awake. I remember, you know, you get through Mongol Arctic and then it's time to offer the obeisances to Tulsi. And offer the obeisances to Tulsi and then fall asleep. And wake up, realize everybody else is standing up, you know. Namo, namaha. What was going on here?
Understand that the concept of austerity changed over the time when we practiced the process?
Well, the irony of it is that spiritual advancement breeds spiritual strength, and then you naturally can do austerity. Try to add austerity without the spiritual advancement, and what do you got? Yes. Showbottle, show off, which is again pratishta, right? A desire to be somebody. I got to be somebody, so I'm going to be more austere to show that I'm somebody. But actually, if it's driven by personal ambition, it's not going to last.
I was thinking more in the sense that in the beginning we can call austerity that
yes.
Required a lot of kind of determination to it, but after some time it doesn't require it because it's coming naturally and you enjoy it.
That's right. Exactly, because it's part of spiritual life to be austere. It's mentioned here, right? What was it? Jnana, then after knowledge, Vairagya. And in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it explains, Sukadeva Goswami explains, is it Sukadeva Goswami? Yeah, I think so. He explains how Vairagya is a natural corollary to bhakti. Knowledge and what is it? Jnana and Vairagya appear ahoitiki, just naturally, without any cause. Because it's, you know, you chant Hare Krishna, you study the Bhagavatam, you do service, you get realizations. You realize, wow, I'm not the body. Woohoo! Right? You chant Hare Krishna and you feel. You know, the people talking about opening up their chakras and stuff, right? If you want to open up your chakras, chant Hare Krishna. One time, Prabhupada was, even one devotee was asking Prabhupada, you know, when you chant Hare Krishna, do you see lights? And Prabhupada said, keep chanting, they'll go away. But you, pratyaksalagamam dhamyam, susukam kartamavyayam, right? It's joyfully performed. It gives direct perception of the self. And if the self is Satchitananda, when you get connected to yourself, then you, naturally you feel enthused, surcharged, right? And we see that in kirtan. Huh? When we greet the deities, we're all reverential, offer our obeisances and say prayers and so forth. But then in the kirtan, that's when it all comes out. Because in sankirtan is one of the panchanga bhakti, you know, one of the five elements of bhakti, and precursors to prema, right, to ecstasy. And so we feel happiness. In the association of the devotees, we feel just like those the people at the market. The boys go there to pick up supplies and stuff, and they feel it. Oh, we really like your boys, right? There's something interesting happened the other day to me and a Chincharupa. There was a knock, there was a ring at the door. We're not expecting anything. And there were some flowers from her sister, right? And she said, thank you for being my sister. And then half an hour later, the Chintaroopa went out to see if the mail was there or something. And in the mailbox, in the letterbox, was a bunch of lavender, right? And that was one of our neighbours, right? And she said, here's some lavender, it's not the best, but for you, right? And I figured what had happened, because the next door neighbour to her, one day I was complimenting her on her lavender. And she said, oh, would you like some? Right. And so she bundled, and I told her, yeah, I'll use it for my daily puja. I'll use it for my worship, my daily worship. Right? So she must have told, this is the only way I can think of it. She must have told Lyndall, the lady next door. Right. And so just, boom, out of the blue, boop, pops up a bunch of lavender. So, you know, she's inspired just to give to the devotees. So, yeah, people like actually to serve. See, and this is that service mood. People actually like to serve because it's pleasurable. That's why Lord Balaram serves, because he likes it. He enjoys it, right? And we enjoy it too. If you didn't have any service to do, what would you do? You'd be complaining. Hey, what's going on here? And then we see that with the devotees. One of the reasons why they get upset is, you know, we're trying to keep the numbers down so that we minimise the risk of having the temple closed. You know, it's a desire to keep the service going. That's why we do it. And, you know, there's virus in Middle Park and St Kilda and Corfu. It's close. You know, we shouldn't underestimate the potency of the virus. So we want to minimise. But what the devotee's doing is they're adding two people to do the service now so they can come to the temple. It's like, no, don't do that. But they think, you're taking my service away. Huh? You took my service away. But no, we didn't actually. We told you to go home and chant Hare Krishna. Your service now is to go home and chant Hare Krishna. And if you want to see the deities, then go on YouTube. Right? Brajaraj is here to serve you. Is it you doing the video?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. You actually get a better darshan. Realistically, you get a better darshan if you stay at home, because you see that you can see everybody up close. Here everybody's very far away. And so the devotees are thinking, you're taking away my service. And yeah, in one sense we are, but it is for a higher cause. And that is, you know, we shouldn't have devotees coming to the temple. We already had the police, you know, come and check out what we're doing. So, and we want to protect the temple residents so that we can maintain a service, because if somebody gets the virus here, then, you know, we close the temple down, you won't be able to serve, you won't be able to do anything. We don't want that. Huh? So it's not a mean, nasty plot to, you know, harass people, but it's just practical organisation at this point in time while we navigate, you know, the vagaries of this pandemic, effectively. Okay, Kantarashana Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.
Sri Baladev Purnima ki
jai.
Sri Krishna Janmashtami in, what, 8 days? 8 days. Ashtami?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. And I should also offer my obeisances to Gaura Govinda Maharaj, whose book I read. Got a lot of that information out of everyone who I got it from.